Hi, good evening. This is Carol Murphy, and you're listening to Heartstock Radio once again. I am so glad that you're all here. And this evening, we're speaking with Cassandra Miller, who is an entrepreneur. She's also the CEO of See Jane Go. And in just a moment, she will be here with us. And we're going to open the phone lines about halfway through the program. The call-in number is 559-681-4020. So in the meantime, remember that we are on Facebook, and you can always email us at heartstockradio@gmail.com. This is Carol Murphy. Thank you so much for being here. We'll be right back.
As I was walking that ribbon of highway, I saw above me that endless skyway. I saw below that golden valley. This land was made, you and me.
Thank you so much for being here. This is Heartstock Radio. This evening, we're speaking with Cassandra Miller. And she has a very fascinating, interesting story. And she's involved with See Jane Go as the CEO and the co-founder. Cassandra, please tell our listeners who you are and what you do.
Well, hello, and thank you so much, Carol, for having me on your show. So I'm Cassandra, CEO and co-founder of See Jane Go. And See Jane Go is a woman-driving women ride-hail company that's similar in concept to Uber and Lyft, but made specifically for how women like to use this transportation option. And we're currently only in California, but working hard to raise money so we can go across the U.S.
So can you tell our listeners just a little bit more about how See Jane Go is different? And you mentioned that it's catering to how women like to use this hail service, kind of a tech-driven hail service, transportation service.
Sure. Just because everyone's familiar with the two companies that have built the ride-hail industry, so Uber and Lyft. And so since 2012, we've now have this new way with our telephone. We can hail a car, and someone, you know, one of our neighbors, someone right there in the community comes and picks you up. And so this has changed the way that we're moving from point A to point B. But See Jane Go, we came into the market because, as wonderful as these advances are, we found that women are having challenges with the current model. Women have bigger safety issues and are also self-excluding themselves from the opportunity of riding in ride-hail services or driving for ride-hail services, as they have safety and comfort concerns with being alone in the car with a man they don't know. So we created See Jane Go to be able to provide an alternative for women to be able to access these ride-hailing services without the fear and discomfort that the other services, sometimes it just happens because of the dynamics. And so that's how we started the company, was just, okay, let's have women drive women. But as we've evolved as a company, we found that women prefer to do things a little bit differently. And so with See Jane Go, you're able to schedule your ride in advance, and also know who your driver is, who's assigned to you in advance, and also ask for your favorite driver. Because women, we love to plan ahead. We love relationships. We don't like to always do business with strangers. We have our nail gal, we have our hair gal, we have our massage gal. And now with See Jane Go, you can have your gal who's your driver. And so that's some of the ways that we're different right now. We also have some great innovations that we're working on to come about Q2 next year that will give loyalty. It's a loyalty program with perks and points for the women to be able to, just because women love getting prizes for their loyalty. So that's another program, but that's not coming till Q2 of next year.
Yes, and this is one of the things that perked my ears up right away when I found you and I found your company. And the whole aspect of having used Uber and Lyft myself before, I can definitely relate to what you're saying. But going in just a little bit different direction now, because I really think it's important that everybody listening really hears your personal story and some of the events that occurred early in your life. Can you talk a little bit about that and how you have evolved as a woman and a very successful entrepreneur?
Yeah, well, thanks, Carol, for asking about that, because it really does shape you. You know, we all have a story. We all have our background, and it shapes what's important to us and our passions and really where we go with our lives. So my story has really built me for this company. And so briefly, I was a teenage mom. I was pregnant with my daughter my sophomore year of high school, and through different circumstances, ended up at 18 years old. I was homeless with my two-year-old daughter. Luckily, we were able to get into a very nice shelter and get taken care of and be able to grow from there. But I did start off as a teenage mother and worked really hard to get through high school and graduate. And then when I was 19, I was pregnant with my son, ended up in some, how long do we have? But some challenging situations, having two children and then trying to build a life. And from that, so I also grew up very poor. My mom was a single mom with five kids and a high school education. And when I saw my mom working so hard for so little, I said, I'm never going to be in that position. I'm going to get an education. I'm not going to put my kids through that because I didn't go get an education. And so I had, from a very young age, seeing how hard it was for my mom, decided I was going to go to school. I was going to work really hard to get an education. And then having my kids so young, I just had this fire inside of me to fight to build a good life for them. It was their is no other option than to build a good life for them. And so as many, I'm sure many women listening, people will come into their life and say, no, you can't. Or gosh, you know, because of these circumstances, there's no way you're going to be able to do X. And there were lots of those people around, and I just decided to ignore them. I decided, you don't know what you're talking about. I could do this. And so I did ignore them. People who said I would end up on welfare and a high school dropout did not become true. You know, the people who said, oh, you'll never finish college. You have two kids. How could you possibly do that? I finished college in 5 years and graduated from a great university with a degree in economics. And then I continued with my kids. And my kids lived with me on campus at UC Irvine and were with me for my full journey as I went from college and a corporate job to then starting my own consulting firm and then going in and getting my MBA. And they came along with me the whole entire time, but were my inspiration that whole way. But where this ties into CJ and Go is that I have had struggles and in so many different ways. I have been in situations of domestic violence. I have been in situations of homelessness. I have had where there's not enough food to eat. And all of these other challenges that so many people out there face. And so part of what I see with CJ and Go is the empowerment of women, because there is this amazing change in the world where we have technology that can connect person to person to earn income by using your own resources that you have, like your car or some other things. There's Airbnb for your house to be able to make some money on the side, or there's, you know, with CJ and Go, you can use your car to make some money. And with that, there's this great opportunity for women to earn income on their own terms or to be able to add to the family income. But what was happening is in the other model, either women go to work scared and fearful and put in some very difficult, just some challenging situations, or they just decide they're not going to participate and they now don't have this income earning opportunity in front of them because of fear and discomfort and just the structure of the way the system is. It really is. Women are 20 times more likely to be assaulted in a ride-hail vehicle than a man. And so with those kind of numbers, it's just amazing that women are participating even at the rate they are, because actually 15% of Uber and Lyft drivers about are women. And so that single number shows that women are not participating at the same level as men. But one great number that at CJ&GO we have seen is that 50% of our drivers have never driven for Uber and Lyft. And so what that means is women who were not taking advantage of this income earning opportunity, they are now participating, and we are growing the size of the market and allowing women now this alternative to making money on their own terms.
So I'd like to talk a little bit about, you know, your belief system, because you really brought it out in what you just said, that there were many people who basically saw the odds as insurmountable for you. You know, where does this strong belief system that you have that kept you going and made you not listen to them, where did that come from? And it seemed to be there from very, very early time in your life.
Yeah, so we all are shaped by our individual experiences. And so my experiences very young is I was the middle of five children, and I was always trying to keep up with my big sisters. And so I was always able to do that. So I had a certain confidence that was built in from just always trying to keep up, and wow, I succeeded. Early on in my grade school years and junior high years were actually, they're very formative years, especially as you're growing. And I had a few key educators that believed in me, that when I was going through extreme poverty and some really challenging situations, they said, there's something special about you and you're going to do good. I'm going to help you. And so in junior high, I had my counselor, my school counselor, she just was so wonderful and believed in me so much when I didn't believe in myself back then. And she said, you need to enter this pentathlon. And it's an academic pentathlon where these all these different tests and you're competing against other students. And I was thinking, I'm just this poor girl trying to make it. And but she believed in me so much. And she's like, you're entering. And she coached me after school and did all these things to believe in me. And I ended up winning medals and we placed in different things. And it was from her just saying, no, you're good enough, and believing in me. And then I just continued to do that. So just having a few cheerleaders in your life that say you can do it, even though the rest of the world is maybe saying there's no way. But when you have that other counterbalance, those people who believe in you and cheer you on, it can make a huge difference. And it did. It built my confidence. And then just the other part is I am a confident person. From those people, that each experience that you have success, it builds on that. But I'm also stubborn. I'm really stubborn. I say, I want this. I'm going to get this. And I keep a singular focus on it and say, well, there is no other option. There, basically, failure is not an option. We're doing this. So when I was going to college and I had to take care of two young children, when I started to college, my son was, he was 4 months old and my daughter was 3 years old. And I decided to go back to school. I was able to work out child care and jobs. So I start going back to school full time and having two children at home and working part time to pay for the bills. And I figured out how to make it happen. And just each day, I just took it one day at a time. But with I never thought I wasn't going to finish. Mm-hmm. Even though people would say that, I just believed. and this will happen. And just like I believe with Jane, this will happen. We will take this across the country. And it's really challenging to be a female-focused startup and to raise money, raise enough money to be able to do and compete with these gigantic companies in the market that already have an established foothold. But I know we can do it. There's big market need. And so I just have this inner belief and I keep going.
So let's fast forward to see Jane Go. How did you come up with, well, the money? You mentioned that for sure, huge challenge, but just the concept, how did it come to you? And talk a little bit about implementing that vision.
Well, great. So we had a group of four co-founders, and the man who put in the original money was a wealth advisor, and his daughter came up with the idea, actually. She wanted to take a Uber from a basketball game out in LA, and dad was like, no way. And she was like, but there should be an option for this. And she's like, this just isn't fair. Boys can do it. I can't. And he's like, that's just not safe. So then they got to talking and she's like, well, what if women drove women? Would that work? And it was, you know, and the father, he was, wow. Hey, that's a good idea. Went and researched it and found that nobody was doing it and it was a good model. So he put in the initial seed money of about $300,000 and built the team that is includes myself and, you know, just made some phone calls and said, hey, do you know, what do you think about this? I got the call from someone I had worked with before who was our chief marketing officer. And she's like, hey, there's this thing and you're perfect to help build this. And I have, timing worked out for me to be involved. And it was pretty incredible because once I heard the idea, I was like, this has to happen. Has to happen. So that's how we got started. And then implementing it is, that could be a 10-hour show on that one, but really just focused on, you know, for myself, I don't know how many business entrepreneurial folks really listen to this, but there's a few key things that I do when building a business is really just digging in deep first on the strategy and understanding the customers before you start building. And so we did just that. We did focus groups and study sessions, and then we did our strategy sessions, understand who are we as a company, where are we competing in the marketplace, and what do we believe in, and what is our focus, and how are we going to go? Mm-hmm. And once we did these three different full day strategy sessions, brainstorming all the different ways, the competition, that the risks that we're facing, we came up with a plan. And from that plan, we just executed. And we had, you know, April Fool's Day, 2016, we started working on the company. We announced that we existed at the end of June of 2016. And we launched our beta market in September of 2016. So, and we didn't write our first line of code until June 1st. So we were really fast and lean, but it was, a singular focus. This is the most important to achieve. And by focusing on the most important, we're able to get so much done in a very short time.
Exciting. So this is the point that we will take a tiny break. And I want to remind everyone, too, that you can call in and speak with Cassandra, the number 559-681-4020. We will be right back. You're listening to Heartstock Radio. I'm Carol Murphy, and today our guest is Cassandra Miller. Please call in our number 559-681-4020 if you have a question for Cassandra. So next, we're going to talk a little bit about how you raised all that dough. How did you find money for your venture?
Well, we're still working on it. We're still raising money. That doesn't end. But we had the initial seed money from our founder. And then there were some, we reached out and did our pitches and found some people who were close, kind of in the close network of people in Orange County. And from there, we're able to raise some angel seed money. And that's just through private investors and lots of conversations with people who have some money or accredited investors and could bring money to the table. So up to this point, we've raised about $2.5 million and we're out raising our seed B right now to be able to raise $2.25 million. And we're reaching out to angel investors. But prior to this, I tried to reach out to the venture capitalist, which is where you can get the large money. We need a lot of money to be able to grow Jane across the country. And it was really an interesting experience reaching out to the VCs without experience in this world. This is my first time raising money for a startup, as my other two startups were self-funded and didn't need this kind of money. So now my responsibility is raising money. This is my first time doing this. And so I am reaching out to everyone I know, asking for advice, getting coaches and getting direction. You get advice from every that says go left, no, go right, and you know, explaining things in every different way. But then when it comes to raising money, what I have learned is that this is a relationship business. And when I've reached out to, I don't even want to tell you how many VCs I've reached out to about this opportunity, just not getting the calls back to even give them the pitch. And this is where I've talked to other women who are fundraising. They're like, I'm having so much trouble getting in front of the VCs. And so what I bring this back to is really, again, it's the relationships. And so many times it's men have the relationships and they feel comfortable having relationships with men, and it continues that way. And in the VC world, you know, every room I go into, it's men. There may be one token woman, but in these investment groups, even today I was at an angel investment group and it was a room full of 40 people and there was one woman who was an angel investor. The rest were men. And so as women, we tend to network more with women and men tend to network more with men. We have more shared interests. And in that, if women aren't at the VC table and your network isn't there, it's a bit more challenging to be able to have the warm introductions into there. So luckily, we do have a lot of men who are CJ and Go fans that are starting to make the introductions for raising money. But it has been a challenge to be able to get a seat at the table and to be able to have an opportunity to tell our story to be able to get the investment.
For our listeners, can you help explain and clarify the difference between just your standard VC capital and angel investors?
Oh, absolutely. So an angel investor is a private person who has enough wealth to be able to invest in these things, an accredited investor, but where it's a private individual. They are not a professional investor. They're just using their personal money to be able to invest in a startup. Now, a venture capitalist, this is a professional investor. And so there's usually a firm and they have a team of people that will review the investment opportunities and really go through and do the due diligence and work through the opportunity. So this is a company of professionals. That's what they do, is they raise money. I mean, they raise money and then they invest in startups.
Yeah, so it's, I think the the term that you use, professional, really helps make that distinction that this is what they do as a living. And
yes,
as a 24-hour a day, 7-day a week job, in many cases, finding companies to sock lots and lots of money in, knowing that only a certain percentage of them will actually pan out and return a very large investment. And
right.
So is it safe to say that angel investors typically put their money behind maybe a purpose or a cause, knowing that they may make some money on the side too? It seems like they're more motivated, less by profit and more by making a difference.
Sure. Angels, you will find more mission-driven angels than you will VC firms. That is the truth that I found. But you will find angels that are very, very diligent and really make a very professional diligence process and everything, you know, for their investments, especially the angel groups. They work together to be able to have this hobby of investing really turn out well.
So can you talk a little bit more about how you're different as an entrepreneur, as a woman? It seems that a lot of our guests that we've talked to in this series really understand that the feminine approach is different and it is valuable. What do you bring to the table as a woman that is different and maybe better?
Well, I do. There is absolutely a feminine style and a masculine style, and we each take our own spot within that range. You know, some men will adopt some feminine style, some will be very, very masculine, and it just across the range. But as a woman, I believe what I bring to the table is that a woman uses her intuition a lot. And that's something that we use and we go with. But we also, it's also a heart that we use. So I don't, my leadership, I actually balance it with the president of the company is I like to lead by example. I like to explain the way things need to be and give people set expectations and where people need to rise to the occasion and set the bar accordingly. I'm not a dictator type leader where it's my way or the highway, very collaborative and working with the team where I set an expectation in the team that every single person on the team matters and each contribution adds to the whole. And so in everything we do, everyone knows their role and how it affects the biggest priorities of the company and how each person is rowing and how each stroke that they're doing makes us better towards that focus goal.
Just we have about a half a minute left.
Oh, so. Sorry.
Oh, no, yes. That's awesome. But what I wanted to do is really give you the opportunity to tell folks how they might find you or contact you.
Oh, sure. So you can find us on our website is cjaneego.co. So cjaneego.co. Or if you want to find us on Facebook or Twitter, we are cjaneego Inc. And that's cjaneego Inc.
Cassandra, it's been wonderful having you. And I really appreciate the knowledge and wisdom and experience and especially your enthusiasm.
Oh, and thank you so much for having us on the show and asking about cjaneego.
You're very courageous and I admire you greatly. Thanks so much. Oh, bye-bye,
thank
everybody.
Thank you, Carol.
See you
thank
next
you.
Week.
Heartstock Radio is a production of KBMF 102.5 Butte America Radio. Hear our live programs every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time via live stream at ButteAmericaRadio.org.
That golden van, this land was made. use me.